I did what I did for the good of the realm.
The realm?
Do you know what the realm is? It's the thousand blades of Aegon's enemies. A story we agreed to tell each other over and over till we forget that it's a lie.
But what do we have left once we abandon the lie?
Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail and never get to try again. The fall breaks them. And some, given a chance to climb, they refuse. They cling to the realm. Or the gods. Or love. Illusions. Only the ladder is real. The climb is all there is.
Only the ladder is evil. The climb is all there is. Terrible Tommy here in the bunker right here in sunny. Well, I guess you know where I'm at by now. Sunny, hot California. Hey, today is the 6th of June. The goddess Juno, the Roman god, Tears Day. And here comes another Shoah. Well, I see another pissed off worker took off and let her fly. What, down in Florida, was it? How many did he kill? 6 or 7? You got to treat your workers better, Mr. Capitalist. You got to take care of your workers, or they'll get pissed off and cap you. How about that British deal? Wow, something else. I was listening to two cops coming from different directions, both going home from work. One was in a bar having a drink when he heard the noise, and the other was walking home. And both of them confronted these guys, these Islamics, and all they had was a billy club. All they had was a damn billy club. And they got beaten up pretty bad. If one of them would have had a gun, he could have done something. He confronted them. He didn't have a gun. British, what was that? Don't go out in the midday sun like a British man does. But they're leading people still to believe you're safe with unarmed British cops. Except when something like that bad happens now, they do, the ones that have some guns prepared, come out shooting. Gonna take more than that. Do you trust your life with the police? I don't. If something bad goes down, I don't trust the police to take care of me. I want to take care of myself. Yeah, religious leaders are shocked by the attack on Ramadan and Pentecost. Ooh. Christians got into the act too. The deadly events coincided with two of the holiest times in the Muslim and the Christian calendars, Ramadan and Pentecost, and left religious leaders shocked at not only the violence but the timing. A gorilla doesn't have specific times, or he don't tell you about it. A gorilla fighter just attacks anytime. That's convenient. I'm looking at a sick picture on the web in London, where thousands of Londoners gathered Monday in a park near London's Tower Bridge to express grief over the deaths of those killed by radical Islamic terrorists on Saturday evening. The vigil, led by London Mayor Sadiq Khan, a Muslim, were a couple of hundred Muslims that were let into the site where the white people died before anybody else got in there. And so here they are, right downtown London on the bridge, Islamics, pretending to be all broken up. And maybe some of them were, but I doubt it, down deep. How come we don't understand Islam? I understand Islam. I understand that Muhammad, in the beginning, was a pretty peaceful guy, but once he got into the Silk Road trading operations and robbing the caravans, he turned nasty, and he was nasty from then on. He was not a peaceful man. He was a violent man. That, as a 62-year-old white German woman was fined over 1,000 euros for sharing an anti-Muslim joke online. How about that? And Dutch right-winger Geert Wilders is under investigation again for incitement against Muslims. How about that? And there is now widespread sexual assault by Muslims in Swedish schools. Independent Swedish journalist Joachim Lamott has claimed sexual abuse from newly arrived Muslims is not only prevalent in schools, but that the victims are accused of being racist if they speak out. Well, that white hero, Bill Cosby, you know, that's how he got there. Millions of white people worship Bill Cosby. Oh, he's a wonderful man. He's a family man. Bill Cosby walked into the Norristown, PA courthouse Monday for the first day of his sexual assault trial with his television daughter, Keisha Knight Pulliam, at his side. It was spectacular. It's speculated Sunday that Knight Pulliam, who played Rudy on The Cosby Show, would lend her support to her TV dad as he faces the jury and his accusers of being a sex maniac, like most of the people in Hollywood. As Cosby walked into the courthouse, among the onlookers were several other Cosby accusers, as well as attorney Gloria Allred, who represents some accusers. "I haven't seen him since 1969, said one of the accusers, Victoria Valentino, 74, who says Cosby raped her decades ago, according to NBC News. I hope he makes eye contact because I'd love to look him in the eye and stare him down." Well, my view on this is six of one, half a dozen the other. These women knowingly, especially these white women, knowingly went into the bedroom or wherever with Bill Cosby, and they had all kinds of sex. And then they come back later and claim he forced himself on them, or he gave them booze. Well, I don't buy either side. The women who went in there were bad news, and he was bad news too. So a pox upon both of their houses. He'll probably beat it. And be perfectly honest, accusing somebody of that kind of stuff decades after it supposedly happened, I think leaves a lot of questions. Well, Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins posted a disturbing message on his verified personal Facebook page calling for all Christendom, not all white people, all Christendom, to hunt down and kill every single radicalized Islamic suspect. Wow. How many Christians would do that? How many Christians will you find doing that? You could find white people doing it. So he says, "The free world, all Christendom, is at war with Islamic horror." Well, it's all white people, should be. "Not one penny of American treasure should be granted to any nation who harbors these heathen animals." Wait a minute. A lot of us refer to heathens. Not a single radicalized Islamic suspect should be granted any measure of quarter. Their indeed intended entry to the American homeland should be summarily denied. Well, that's true. Every conceivable measure should be engaged to hunt them down, hunt them, identify them, and kill them all, for the sake of all that's good and righteous. Kill them all. Congressman, calm down. Well, boys and girls, I'm going to read you a little article by David Lane. Remember David Lane? Yeah. He wrote under the name, pen name of Wodenson in Liberty Bell and other magazines. This is called Divided Loyalties by Wodenson. Most would probably agree that we have long been searching for a motivational concept that would overcome the system's propaganda, terror, blackmail, and other destructive powers. The tactic employed by the so-called right-wingers over the last few decades has been to cloak themselves in national and religious patriotism. Boy, isn't that true. There may be what appears to be benefits in this strategy, but always at the bottom line is success or failure. Obviously, this strategy has been a total failure, so it's time to examine not only the reasons for failure, but what is necessary for ensured success. Now, this article that he wrote goes back to 1991. Dave was telling the right wing this way back in 1991, but the right wing leaders, most of them didn't listen, and they usually don't. Human nature being what it is, one can understand why the right wing traveled the road it did. The brutal truth is they didn't have the courage to face either reality or the enemy. They knew there was an attack on our racial existence, and many of them knew who was behind it. They also knew of the treachery from what they persist in calling their government and from the Judeo-Christian establishment. But it was safer to attack enemies over there. They were afraid of being called racist. They were afraid of not conforming, like the tale of the emperor who wore no clothes. They pretended to see only what was approved by the authorities and the masses. Many drew retirement checks or other benefits from the beast and so had dual loyalties. Others, particularly former military, did not want to see tarnish on their medals or face the results of the actions of American military. And, of course, a few were simply so filled with blind nationalism and religious patriotism that they could see nothing of reality. But whatever the reason, they were neutralized by divided loyalties. They worshiped their executioner. Let me insert here, there is nothing wrong with our people getting every cent and every check possible from Zog. Bleeding the beast is necessary, but loyalty to the beast is treason. Yeah, I promoted this long time ago too, along with David. Don't be bashful. Bleed the beast. It is simply, you know, that's a ruling class concept to instill into the right wing a guilt for bleeding the beast. You're lazy. See, it worked pretty well for the blacks. Seems like the blacks, on some things, are a little more sharp on the real issue than whites. It is simply impossible to build a dynamic steamrolling movement with divided loyalties. If the primary goal of the American political entity is the mixing and the extermination of the white race, and it is, and we continue to honor and support that entity, then we're doomed. It is doublethink from top to bottom. Reminds me of Trump and the right-wing racists who follow Trump. Not that they should follow Hillary, but You shouldn't be following any of these swine. If you entertain the fictions that America is your country, then by every sense of fair play, you must give honor to all those who serve in the American military, regardless of race. If a Negro serves your army, can you deny him access to your church? That's what I used to say way back. If we're really equal, what's wrong with a nigger taking your daughter out? If you're truly equal, he goes to your church, he worships your God, and he takes your daughter. If he attends your church and worships your God, how will you deny him your daughter or sister? That's exactly what I just said. If he served your country, can you deny him your schools, neighborhoods, and organizations, and so on? You simply cannot share a nation, a life view, a religion, a culture, a territory, a God, a holy book, a flag, or anything else with another race. It is suicide. If your God created Negroes, then why shouldn't your daughter create more of them? If your God worries over every little sparrow, surely your daughter should marry over Negroes, Mexicans, and Asiatics. How about a flag? There's a good reason why the world's rulers have always used symbols such as flags and martyrs to motivate the masses. Symbols represent emotions and instincts as deep and as strong as territory, reproduction, species preservation, gods, and maybe even stirred genetic memory. But you cannot share symbols with other races any more than you can share territory, women, or gods. It is a division of motivational forces. I'm reminded of racial activists who participate in Judeo-Christian anti-abortion rallies. They try to share an issue. They know full well that thousands of white women are raped by Negroes every year. Would they condemn these women to birthing a Negro baby? You see, sharing things with your executioner is at best a two-edged sword and more often suicidal pursuit. Another example is the racist who joins conservatives in condemning bilingual education. Apparently they want Hispanics or mestizos to become affluent in English so they can blend into white society, take your jobs, and pursue white women. They should realize a language barrier is good from a racial standpoint, but they join forces with conservatives who see the mestizo as an economic pawn to be exploited, and to hell with his race or culture. What is Zog's is theirs, not ours. We have to get our minds in order, identify our executioners and name them, and divorce ourselves from anything that brought us to this sorry state of affairs. We cannot fly our executioner's flag or worship his gods, support his government, fight in his courts, play by his rules, obey his laws, listen to his propaganda, send our children to his schools, honor his armies and police, vote for his puppets, share his causes, or escape reality. Divided loyalties are neutralizing and suicide. Boy, that really nails the right-wing conservatives that pretend to be racist. We do not need complicated political or theological dissertations to justify our cause. There is a higher law, the highest law. The first law of nature is the preservation of our own kind. Even the animals know that, especially the animals know that. It does not matter whether you believe in nature's laws are the work of God or gods or are an accident. They exist. We are subject to them. They are the work of God, then they are God's laws. Natural law is total justification. If we cannot find the minimal courage to say, I am white, I am proud of my heritage, I intend to preserve the existence of my race, then we're finished. And that means about 85% at least of the white race. especially here in America. Why is that so hard to say? Have we become so cowardly, so submissive, so brain polluted that we feel guilt or fear in every state, even stating who we are? It is both ludicrous and tragic to see so-called patriotic publications afraid to say the word white. How our forefathers must despise us. The right wing, you know, keeps saying we're white, we're nationalists, we're Euro-Americans, to get around saying white. And don't say they don't, they do. You know that, I know that. When the Dukes and those kind of people say that, we're Euro-Americans, say you're white Americans. Say you're white Europeans. How our forefathers must despise us. Let us make the 14 words a test. No one who will not repeat them is worthy of our friendship or support. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And that's the end of that short article by David Lane. But he nailed it right on the head. Everything he's talking about is damning the right wing and the conservatives or anybody who plays around with race but plays a game. We're not playing a game. I'm not playing a game. I've never played a game, and I won't play the game in the future. You got to be deadly serious about racism. And when they say you're a racist, say, by God, yes. It's wonderful, isn't it? I wish I could be more racist than I am. Just remember that flag you salute, or hopefully you don't salute, and all that nonsense that they tell you from Washington, murdered your friends and your fellow warriors, Bob Matthews and a lot of others all across the country. And yet, right-wingers, so-called racist right-wingers, will fly the American flag and they'll declare subservience to my country, 'tis of thee. Well, no, it's my race, 'tis of thee. Sweet race of liberty. When ISIS or anyone else who are not of your race busies themselves for whatever their reason, killing off a lot of people, well, were these people on your side? Do they believe in race? Do they submit to race? Of course they don't. So why do you sit around crying in your beer and putting flowers on the street? You gonna have to be a little more hard-hearted than you've been before. Because if you're not, you don't even have a chance of winning. When people of Britain won't even carry a gun or demand that the government bow down to the people and let the people carry guns, when they won't do that, they're renegades. They're renegades. If the people won't take the law into their own hands, yes, the law into their own hands, and in situations like happened in Britain or any place, and carry a gun, they say, you can't carry a gun, watch me. I don't make it a habit of running around with guns, but if I see the danger anywhere around, really bad danger, I'll carry a gun and fuck the cops and fuck the government. They are not my masters. They may think they are. And they may be the masters of millions of people, but they're not my master. When white people act like Jews and blacks and so forth, I have no problem, if I had to shoot them. Of course not. Because they're just, sometimes they're even worse than blacks. I talk to blacks, and there's a lot of blacks know exactly what's going on. And you ask them, even illegal aliens know about the Jews. I remember talking to illegal aliens in the field here in Southern California. I said, what do you think about the Jews? And they didn't quite understand my pronunciation of Jew. But I forget what they call them. Say, oh, yeah, we hate them people and what they're doing. It's more what they're doing to them personally. But they try to convince everybody in the world you hate people because they're there. We don't hate them because they're there. We hate them because of what they do. And when we hate them for what they do, we hate anybody, including a white Aryan, for what they do bad to the race. It's very simple. I'm amused when they say, you just hate them because of the color of their skin. Actually, I don't go around hating all the time. That's an abstract term anyhow. I hate people who hate our race and who give us trouble. I hate our enemies and love our friends. That's the way it should be. I don't hate a man because he's got black skin. I hate him because he's not separate. Not even allowed to be separate. They're drafted into the white race. They try to. That's why we have an army of mulattoes all over this country. They're growing in number like you wouldn't believe. That is the truly dangerous race. Because you know white people with no morals or anything else to their race are going to bed down with these mulattoes, mulatto women. And the white women are doing the same thing. As I've said many times before, you've got to be like someone parachuted into a foreign warring nation. You have to pretend what you're not sometimes. You have to lie about what you're not. And like that, overt being a racist is not too wise in many cases. You've got to be sneaky, lone wolf, to get along and get something done. These guys that go out in their Hollywood costumes, Nazis and Klan, and march into a town that's basically all white, they're more boasting about their clothing than anything else. They're worshiping their uniforms. They're not worshiping their skin. And they cause more trouble than they're worth. And usually they don't last but about 2 or 3 years until they quit and go into something else. I see a lot of skinheads and people like that going from hardcore race to hardcore drugs and so forth. Superficial racists. They don't really mean it. They're not racist for all seasons. You don't see many of the reporters coming around me anymore. I've actually told them the last one, I said, I don't want to talk to you. But the reason they don't come around me is because I give them the score, whether it's Trump's an asshole or not, you know. They think they've got things just the way they want them figured out, and they don't want anybody else telling them different. So they go to right-wing media types. You know who I mean. A good share of these people that hang around these so-called racist websites, and you know who they are, don't even know who the Order was, don't even know who Bob Matthews was, and don't understand that Bob Matthews hated most of the right-wing leaders of the day. He hated them. In fact, he planned to kill them. That's the word I got. Outside of Liberty Bell, not too many books I really, really appreciate. I mean, I like a lot of books, but to really appreciate something outside of Liberty Bell, probably the next one would be Siege by James Mason, that now, incidentally, is being advertised on the internet for $1,700 for a copy of James Mason's Siege. I happen to have two of them. And I've said I'm willing to get rid of one if people will bid and say how much money they want to offer for it. and then I can take that money and split it up among the order members in prison, POWs. So if you'd like to have one of these, the highest bidder in the next couple of months will get a copy of Tom Metzger's Siege by James Mason. Now, I don't know. I don't think there's any available on the regular market like we used to buy them for $20. All I saw on the internet was this $1,700 price. Of course, I think that was a hard copy, if I'm not mistaken. So if you know all these people out there that really want a copy of Siege and they can't get it, make a bid on this one and I'll see that you get it, the highest bidder. And I won't take any of the money myself. I'll take the money and give it to the POWs. So while we're thinking about that, I'm going to go to one particular part of this. I'm going to try to read it in small print and see what you think. This one is entitled, "Thank You, Mr. Director," talking about the FBI. In late August, the LA Times printed a story headlined, "FBI Director Calls Shooting of Vernon Jordan a Calculated Act." Probably most of you don't remember Vernon Jordan, the head of the Urban League, that was fucking a white woman in a motel in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 50 miles from where I was recently living. That's not much of a sensational headline unless we were supposed to believe that the shooting of Jordan was some kind of accident. The master of understatement, FBI Director William Webster, stated to the Times that the two cases he most wants to crack are the Jordan shooting and the killing of federal judge John Wood of Texas in 1979. Is there a significance to the date May 29th? Because the shooting of Wood and the shooting of Jordan happened on that day, 1 year apart. I quote now directly from Webster. Quote, "These cases, without making an apology, are the most difficult. The assassin picks his time and place outside of the bullets themselves and evidence of where they were fired from. There is virtually no forensic evidence to deal with. There were no eyewitnesses," unquote. This is the proof of the pudding statement regarding what has been said in Siege. The only thing which can foul up crimes such as these is talk. So mum's the word. Quickly, we must cover two secondary aspects of both of these cases. Jordan walked out of the hospital under his own power early in September, as cocky and as arrogant as ever. I hope those who shot him weren't intending on scaring him or teaching him any lessons. I'm sure that whoever is responsible will now realize that henceforth only headshots are worth risking your ass on. And the U.S. District Attorney in San Antonio, Texas, commented on the killing of Wood that it amounted to warfare against the American judicial system. Bravo. The killing was credited to narcotics traffickers. Are we to favor big-time dopesters over federal judges? When was the last time a comrade was put away by a pusher? Go for the source, not the symptom. Well, of course, that's what I've advocated for years. If you're going to do something, do it right. I'm telling you, this print is very small, so if I don't read too well, you'll understand. Cowboys and niggers. Years ago, while still a dues-paying novice at this, I used to get discouraged. But no more, because it came over me some time ago that revolution we dream of speak of and write of has not faltered or failed, for the simple reason that it hasn't gotten started yet. It's going to start. It must start. I don't care how badly the disease of liberal democracy has infected our people, human nature remains the same, and it will rise to the surface and show itself sooner or later. For there is to be smoke, there's got to be fire someplace, and you'll certainly got to crawl before you can walk, much less run. The evidence things are beginning to happen, and happen right in this country, whether we are the believers, we believe the system bureaucrats who say that damaged maniac is on the loose, or whether we believe Jesse Jackson who swears that a small bond of extreme radicals is at work, hardly matters. The fact remains that somebody is starting to do it right. The past 30 days have been outstanding ones for news. What began as a hopeful trickle had turned into a positively electrified flood. On September 26th, the headlines began on this upbeat note, quote, "Killer stalks Buffalo Blacks," unquote. That incident involved the shooting of four blacks that left three dead with 36 hours in that city. Next item out of Buffalo was the vicious murders, quote, "sparked massive manhunt," unquote. It was thus reported that on October 10th that two more blacks had not only been killed but had had their hearts cut out. From what we gather, the fourth shooting victim died, and there was a strangulation attempt that was not successful against still another black. Police in Buffalo claim four composite drawings of a suspect or suspects. The district attorney, Edward Cosgrove, made this very pregnant statement, quote, "I can imagine a more serious traumatic situation occurring in a U.S. community," unquote. Well, brother, we sure as hell can. On October the 7th, it was reported that a prime suspect in the shooting of Vernon Jordan had been identified as one Joseph Franklin. At the same time, it came that Franklin had been known to appear in Nazi uniform giving the Hitler salute. This tidbit supplied by his ex-wife in Louisiana. But it seems as though Franklin is a real traveling man, wanted for the killing of two black youths in Salt Lake City, Utah, while police in Cincinnati, Ohio, want to question him, I'll bet, regarding the killing of two more Negro youths in that city. So far, Franklin is credited with 10 killings and is wanted in 5 states. Best of all is the fact that Franklin supposedly has been killing mixed couples, the rotten whites right along with the blacks. Bravo. Very interesting what this says. And do you know that Joseph Paul Franklin, I don't think anybody in the racial struggle appeared at the prison on the day he was executed. There might have been some, they might have just kept their mouths shut. But the general so-called right wing did not give him respect at all. And that shows you that you can't go anyplace if you don't go anyplace. On October 7th, but it seems as though Franklin is a real traveling man wanted for the killing of two blacks in Salt Lake City. Whoops. Then finally, there is the business in Atlanta, Georgia, of whomever it is that believes the proper target is the offspring rather than the adult. At last report, on October the 11th, there were 8 dead black offspring in Atlanta era over a period of 15 months. That turns out to be a black killer. A black race. He hated a black race. Everybody was looking for a white man that did that, but the black man did it. These occurrences are the closest thing yet to amounting to what is actually needed in this country. Well, in that Atlanta deal, the blacks and liberals make the excuse, well, he did it because the whites drove him crazy. He killed 8 black people because the whites drove him crazy. I'm immediately reminded of Fred Cowan and all those very early white heroes who sacrificed everything and who died in the glimmering pre-dawn hours of a true American Revolution, which is about to break upon us. I remember sending flowers to the grave of Fred Cowan. I don't think anybody else in the country did. I mean specifically revolution as opposed to the War of Independence in the 18th century, and specifically Civil War rather than the war between the states in the 19th century. The all-important difference now is that, one, the killings all have been in multiple, and two, the system has its filthy hands on no one as yet. I think I'm going to have to copy these pages and magnify them, because the print is extremely small. I think that's what I'm going to do, because there's some great stuff in here. In a lot of these books that have too small a print. My eyes aren't that bad. I mean, this is a really small print. So I'll go on to something else and start magnifying these articles and copying them and then reading them. They're too important not for you to hear them, because you'll probably never have a copy of the book. I'm going to go back to Liberty Bell and read from an article called Mestizo America, The End of Aryan Enterprise. This is by Eric Thompson. A lot of you people have been around this thing for a long time recognize Eric Thompson's name. I never met the man, but he writes well, and people tell me he's hardcore. I'm not sure whether he's still alive or not. I think he's one of the people that didn't like Tom Metzger because Tom Metzger would not bow down to the Führer, even though Tom Metzger would point out the good points of Uncle Adolf. There were too many bad points not to recognize. And so a lot of the right wing, who pretty much worship Adolf Hitler, got upset with Tom Metzger 25 years ago, and that colored their judgment, which it should not have. And I was not upset with Adolf Hitler because of the violence he perpetrated wrongly on a lot of people, but that he perpetrated it in the wrong way and caused him to lose. Became too self-centered. And of course, like I have said many times before, the attack on the Soviet Union was a fatal error. If he would have kept the pact with Russia, the whole world history would have changed. Stalin would have been weeded out. Don't worry about that. Other people say, oh my God, Stalin would be... Well, Hitler would have taken care of Stalin in due time. Or the Russian people themselves, who had formed large armies to fight against Stalin inside Russia. And the combination of the German country and the Russian lands of the Russians would have made a formidable adversary that the Jewish United States and Britain and France could never have conquered. In other words, Hitler pisses me off because he blew it. Now they got a picture about Dunkirk, a movie about Dunkirk, acting like they were great heroes. Well, they're lucky that Hitler left them alive. Because instead of Hitler doing what he should have done and captured them all right on the beach and put them in a concentration camp and brought the war to an end, he let them get away. A terrible blunder, one of the biggest blunders of the war. Mestizo America, Benjamin Disraeli wrote that those who do not understand race will never understand history. Now that was a Jew, and a European whose name I forgot predicted in the 19th century that the U.S. would conquer Mexico and be destroyed. And that's true. You absorb these non-white nations and they destroy you. The Aryan conquerors of Mexico in the 1840s were much wiser than we are today, for they already knew the truth of Disraeli's statement. Thus did Aryan-ruled America annex the least populated parts of Mexico, even though many Mexicans wanted them to annex all the country, to have done with Mexico mestizo rule, misrule. But Aryan Americans wanted no part of the populous Mexico with its unforgivable, ungovernable, unproductive, corrupt, and prolific mestizo inhabitants. Thus was the Europeans' dire prediction confounded until this century of Pax Judica. And that was a Jew. It was a Jew that warned us about race. Now that the Zionist banksters' government in the District of Corruption has decreed that North America, including Canada and USA and Mexico, will join an economic political union, whether we like it or not, it behooves us to consider the cost of adopting the entire mestizo population of Mexico in addition to the hordes already within our borders. Now this was from 1992, remember. It's gotten a lot worse since then. This is back when, this was after I was putting men on the border with patrols. That was in 75 I put men on the border. One Zogling in the Pentagon's War College let slip the fact that Mexico nearly self-destructed into chaos and civil war in the 1980s due to endemic corruption. Well, that's the same time we were putting men on the border. And mismanagement plus the mestizo population explosion. He said the CIA had warned Americans of this danger, while he and his fellow Pentagonians, Zoglings, may have received the CIA's warning, but few other Americans did, to my knowledge, for the likelihood of another violent outburst of the kind which racked Mexico from 1910 to 1929 hardly seemed newsworthy to the U.S. news media. History, as Santayana warned us, is repeated by those who do not learn it. We should therefore consider what brought about the so-called Mexican Revolution of 1910 and the carnage that followed. I knew men, old men in Southern California who fought and were paid to fight in that revolution in Mexico. I knew a man who operated a railroad engine down there for the rebels in Mexico. I knew men who rode on motorcycles out of Southern California into Mexico to fight for gold and glory. Mexico under the Aztecs had a workable, albeit bloody-minded system of birth control. Tribal wars were the national sport, and prisoners were taken for blood sacrifices. Well, that's because they're part of the Mongoloid race. The mestizos are part Mongoloid, and that's what makes them vicious. That's why they do the terrible things they do up here in this country, and the way they treat kids and so forth. They're Mongols. Thus were the natives occupied when the Spaniards came and committed two cardinal blunders. They stopped the human sacrifice and they miscegenated, mixed race, thus providing a crazy mixed up population which bred like piranha, bunnies. Porfirio Diaz, one of the Juarez mestizo generals but typical, ruled Mexico for 34 peaceful and prosperous years until he was forced to flee the country in 1910. Well, He ruled over the country because he ruled over it with an iron fist, and the mestizos couldn't get out of line. He died of old age in France, whose armies had fought under Juarez. Porfirio Diaz wanted Mexico to progress. He saw whenever he looked that Mexico's Indian heritage and population were preventing Mexico from becoming a wealthy and powerful country. Well, there's no way with that mixed race they ever will. Unless they totally breed down the whites in this country into a non-white population, and then they can compete with the United States pretty well. Even having lost some of the two-thirds of its territory to the United States, and I said 20, 30, 40 years ago, we should give some of it back. And as far as if Texas didn't want to fight for the white race in modern times, then give Texas back to Mexico. They deserve it. Mexico was large, rich in natural resources, and well situated for world trade. Its climate and soil were well suited to the broad spectrum of agricultural production. Except for the Indian factor, Mongol factor, Diaz saw no reason why Mexico should remain poor and backward country. Thus did he encourage the immigration of whites into Mexico, along with the U.S. and European investment capital. A lot of white people immigrated into Mexico after the Civil War, after the World War I, after World War II. Under Diaz, most of Mexico's railroads and factories were built. Public works projects, such as water systems, roads, bridges, telegraph and telephone systems, public transportation services, and other attributes of Aryan civilization were eagerly introduced throughout the country. In 1910, Mexico was becoming a modern Aryanized state. In that year, Diaz was at the height of his achievements. Unlike most Latin American dictators, Diaz took care to keep the armed forces small, cheap, and always under his watchful control. The Mexican treasury had a large surplus in gold, and it would appear that Diaz himself was not only patriotic, but honest, in comparison to all his successors up to the present. Naturally, he was surprised when the inevitable explosion came. He was taken off guard. What caused Mexico to self-destruct in 1910? The most important factor was the incredible mestizo population explosion. Diaz had undone himself to some extent by introducing water purification plants and hygienic water distribution plant systems in so many Mexican towns and cities. Well, we do the same thing here, piping all kinds of good stuff into the ghetto and so forth, and always crying about the downtrodden Negro. You keep propping them up, and they keep breeding more and more till we become the... Well, anyhow, this otherwise thoughtful and patriotic measure drastically reduced the normal infant death rate and contributed to the population explosion. In those days, the United States did not serve as a safety valve for Mexico's fast-breeding mestizo population. This is why I don't oppose abortion. You know, the right wing go on and on about abortion, but now... If white people want to survive, they're not going to abort their babies. But the others want to abort their babies. The blacks don't want babies hanging around, giving them problems, weighting them down. So abortion, to a racist, abortion should be good. But you need to advocate that whites not do it. So, but as whites miscegenate so much and become race mixed with niggers, they should do it as much as possible. So the pressure built up quickly. Not only is Mexico still plagued with the problem of mestizo locust, we in the USA are also suffering from swarms which have invaded our living space. Reminds me of when I was on the border with my border patrols. We had to go to federal court to fight to do it because the Mexicans inside this country went into federal court to try to stop us. What a What a joke that was. But at least the federal judge was smart enough to know that we had the right to travel the highways. Another fatal flaw in Diaz, Mexico, was the adoption of the supply-side economics, or the trickle-down theory. The idea was that if the rich can become very, very, very rich, some of the wealth will trickle down into the hands of the less wealthy. That's the biggest joke ever perpetrated on any population. Republicans really conned the white race into that. If you let us get filthy rich, that it'll trickle down to you. Jesus Christ, how stupid can you be? As the money pours into the hands of the rich, it is fondly hoped that some of their pockets will overflow, or that a money bag will burst and sprinkle some means of exchange throughout the economy. Ah, found and baseless. Hope. Up until 1910, when the Mexicans and the foreigners grew quite rich, just as the Milkins and the Moskis prosper in the 1980s here in the U.S., but supply-side economics did not bring about general prosperity at all, either in the United States or today in Mexico of 1910. Why did Diaz adopt such a disastrous policy? Well, he was, after all, the only mestizo soldier, so he respected economists who claimed to be up to date and progressive, like in this country right now, and have been running the country for a long time, pretending to be on the side of the workers. There's nobody less on the side of the workers than progressives. Even Aryans have been fooled by glib con men who are adept at economic jargon and are capable of performing marvelous feats of statistical jiu-jitsu. Hey, that's one of my terms, jiu-jitsu. Non-Aryan Franklin D. Roosevelt called his adversaries brain trusters, and non-Aryan Diaz called his the scientists, regardless of the bad advice they gave him on their respective employers. History teaches those of us who will learn that the two fatal flaws in 1910 Mexico were primarily the non-white population explosion and secondary a defeated economic policy adopted by the government. Going along with North American capitalism. These two fatal flaws will preclude any rescue operation for the present-day Mexico or the United States, as assuredly as an iceberg and the enormous gash in the hull sank the Titanic. Unless we are in the United U.S. solve the racial population problem and adopt sound economic policies, this country will go under too, which it is right now, fast. Our Zionist occupation government in the District of Corruption is merely running the money pumps fast and playing the music louder to distract us from dark waves of which lap at our ankles. This was in 1992. They didn't see anything yet. Enlightened self-interest is the alien concept to the mestizo mind. What is produced by the mestizo short-sighted greed and rapacious reproductive instincts is a country from which rich and poor alike must flee, the poor to seek employment and the rich to protect and to enjoy their largely ill-gotten gains. The mestizos' nightmare is that they will find only other Mexicos in their flight, just like these people from North Africa. They're turning countries into race-mixed messes in Europe. So when they think they're improving themselves, they're destroying themselves in the process. This nightmare becomes reality wherever the mestizos gather in sufficient numbers to overwhelm Aryan society. Thus, it's happened in parts of California, Texas, and other states. The mestizo recreates Mexican corruption and poverty unavoidably, for they are inherent parts of his genetic makeup. He brings Mexico with him, no matter how much he wants to escape it. He imposes Mexican conditions upon us, such as swamps impose mosquitoes on those who dwell nearby. Those citizens fleeing San Diego, California, report that they cannot find jobs which pay even minimum wage because swarms of mestizos cross the nearby Mexican border every day to work in San Diego area, and U.S. employers can pay them less than officially required minimum wage. This means survival in terms of the Mexican living standards, but such low wages allow no one to partake of U.S. living standards. I'm going to stop right there, and I think I'll continue with this tomorrow, but I'm going to enlarge the print so it's easier for me to read. Not that I'm the greatest reader anyhow. Okay, that's it for today, boys and girls. I'll be back with you tomorrow on Tears Day, and we'll see if we can drum up some more hatred. That is for our enemies, not for our friends. Don't worry about this guerrilla warfare that's going on all around you and in Europe. That's not your thing. That is not your thing. Don't get excited. In fact, it may, in some ways, be your survival. It's not going to be the massive amounts of whites left. It's going to be the percentage of whites who know exactly what's going on and don't fall into a trap.
Final caller here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Final caller here. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
I was really, you know, I'm a new listener to this Oracle Broadcasting Network, and I just, you're the second show that I've turned into, and I was completely shocked by the garbage that has come out of your mouth.
Oh, good, I'm glad. Shocked. Keep listening, you need to get shocked more. All right, go to hell, kid. Actually, you know what? I hung up on
him. You know what? I can report you to Benai Bliss.
What's that?
I can report you. I can report you to Benai Bliss. You'd be off the air right now.
My balls are falling off as you say that. I'm so afraid. Fuck you. Fuck
you. You're an ignorant asshole. You're an ignorant asshole. You don't know nothing.
Fuck you.
You don't know.
I said, fuck you, you Jew cunt. Oh, there, I did it now. Oh, I said the forbidden word. Sorry for those out there that are offended by that word. I was using that word quite a bit last night on Pal Talk. It's still fresh in my mind. I got to make sure I don't use that so often because it slips off the tongue real easy if you use it too much. But hey, pal, fuck you and the camel you rode in on, okay? You and all your Jewish supremacist bastards are going straight to hell. You're pissed because you know that people are finally catching on to your propaganda. They're finally waking up to what the hell's going on. You bet your sweet ass they are. There's a grand scale awakening, and your little scheme for global domination is falling apart right before your eyes, and that's why you're shitting yourself. Because you depend on keeping the goyim in deception, keeping them under the crushing weight of your lies and your propaganda. It ain't working anymore, asshole, okay? You're done. You're finished. Just like I told that bitch last night. It's over for you bastards. The whole world community. Oh, yeah, you got the politicians in your pocket. But it doesn't matter when multiplied billions of people around the world are waking up every day, far, far outnumbering and surpassing your phony sellout politicians. It's just a matter of time before people collectively wake up and kick your asses finally, once and for all. And when they get kicked, you will never ever rise again. It will be indelibly etched in the collective mind of humanity. I mean real humanity. Gentiles, real human beings who reject Judaism and all of its bullshit, Jewish supremacist bullshit. It'll be fully, indelibly, and eternally etched in their minds that Judaism is the most evil curse that mankind has ever faced, and you will never rise again. I'll give you a few more seconds here. We got a few more minutes left in the show for entertainment purposes. Anything more to say, asshole? Oh, looks like you already hung up. Well, screw you.
The suspects and the number of bullets. know, 50 shots had been fired. And you just never hear that here. We wouldn't have batted an eyelash in the States had it happened, you know, in any American city, and they said, well, yeah, we shot him dead, and nobody would have really counted the bullets. But here, just because it is so alien to the policing culture, it was...